This
is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
I think a lot of us kind of feel like the countdown's on, especially when we take a look at the testimony of Jeffrey Lacoste, her ex-boyfriend, who has a lot to say. And we're going to take a look now at some of the testimony. This is Jeff testifying in Charlie Adelson's trial. And I should tell you, because I've heard a lot of complaints about the audio on this, the audio from the court originally sucked. It was like really, really low, really, really bad. So what we did is we amped the volume up and then through AI technology helped to pull those other sounds back and make this audible. Otherwise, you'd be like, what? Now, granted, it does sound a little mechanical here and a little garbly here and there. But it's, I'm going to tell you this, 10 times better than the original audio that existed. We wouldn't be able to play it back because we wouldn't be able to understand it half the time if we had just gone with the original. We've not edited it. We haven't, other than taking out gaps of sound, of dead air. We've not edited this. We've not changed any words or testimony, nothing like that. But if you go and say, it's a little electronic, is this AI? It's not AI. It's just enhanced original audio so you can hear it better. So I want to get that out there. Let's begin. This is Jeff Lacoste and the testimony of him in the trial of Charlie Adelson. And we'll break it down.
Please raise your right hand, sir. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth? You may take your seat.
Please introduce yourself and spell your name.
My name's Jeffrey Lacoste. Jeffrey Lacasse.
How are you employed, sir?
I'm an associate professor at Florida State University.
How long have you been with FSU?
I came back in 2013. I was also there from 2000 to 2008.
Have you always lived in Tallahassee?
No, I'm from California originally. I went to Phoenix for 5 years from 2008 to 2013. Really loved Tallahassee, so when I got a tenure track drop here, I was excited to return in fall of 2013.
Did you have a relationship at some point with Wendy Adelson?
I did.
What was that relationship?
We met in the fall of 2013. Apologize for my voice. I'm still in water.
You've been in water.
We started dating in the fall of 2013, September 2013. We dated casually in the fall and more seriously in the spring and summer of 2014.
When did the relationship end?
Well, that's a little tricky, but basically July of 2014.
All right, we'll walk through that a little more in detail. During the time that you were dating Ms. Adelson,
This is about the right distance here. Can we?
All right. So during the time that you were together, did you become aware of Wendy Adelson's recent divorce from Dan Markell?
I did. On our first several dates, that was the primary topic of conversation.
And were you aware that this was an unusually nasty divorce?
Yes.
During the time that you were dating her, did you become aware that even subsequent to the divorce, there was ongoing litigation pending?
Yes.
Did you know Dan Markell?
I met Professor Markell. I did not know him. I probably spent 10 to 15 minutes in his presence across the course of that relation.
And were you specifically familiar with the litigation concerning Wendy Adelson relocating with her children to South Florida?
Yes, that was the topic of conversation.
If you know, did Wendy want that relocation to take place?
Yes, on our second date, the topic of relocation and being stuck in Tallahassee came up, and the date was ended abruptly when she went to the bathroom and returned with tears in her eyes and just left the date because she was so upset. That was about two and a half months after it was denied.
All right.
And that continued to be a topic, but that's...
But that issue seemed to be specifically what was upsetting her on that day?
Definitely was. She left the group date suddenly because it came out.
All right. And did she have family in South Florida?
Yes.
And what family was that?
Well, my brother, Troy Adelson, Harvey Adelson, her father, and Donna Adelson, her mother, were the ones primarily that I heard about.
Were you also familiar with the litigation seeking to limit the exposure of Wendy Adelson's young sons to her mom, Donna Adelson?
Yes, in spring of 2014, yes.
And did you observe Wendy to be taking that filing seriously? Did she seem stressed or worried about it?
Every filing, she took seriously. When she was stressed, I reported to DPD that every time a motion was filed, it affected our relationship because she's very upset.
During the time that you were in a relationship with Wendy, did you have an occasion to meet her family members in South Florida?
I did. Well, I met her parents mostly up here. So I met Donna and Harvey Adelson probably 8 to 12 times here. I met the defendant down in South Florida one time.
All right, so you only met Charlie Adelson one time.
That's correct.
When was that?
That was March, the evening of March 11, 2014.
And had you already met the parents several times at that point?
Yes, probably 6-8 times of the day, maybe more.
So they came here quite frequently?
Yes.
What about Catherine McGowan? Did you meet her?
She was present at the dinner that I attended on March 11th, where it was myself, the defendant, Wendy Adelson, and her, and went to dinner that evening, March.
You're saying the defendant. Do you see the person in the courtroom?
Yes.
That you had dinner with Tuesday?
And it's Charles Adelson, known to me as Charlie.
Could you point him out and describe what he's wearing?
Yeah, he's sitting in the center of the defense table, wearing a light blue tie and a navy blue sports coat.
Oh, yes.
And so Catherine McVanilla, how was she related to this family or affiliated with the family?
I was introduced to her as Charlie's new girlfriend, essentially.
And was it your understanding that this was the first time that Wendy was meeting Catherine McVanilla as well?
That was my understanding. She was excited about Catherine McVanilla. Well, he's the main patient, yes.
All right. So anything unusual happened at the dinner?
Well, at the dinner, Ms. Magbanua mentioned that she had was her ex-common-law husband, who had a criminal history that sounded very serious, and I raised my eyebrows at that.
Did Charlie Adelson seem disturbed or upset by Catherine Magbanua mentioning that?
I don't recall him seeming disturbed, no.
And what about after dinner? Where'd you go next?
We went to Mr. Adelson's home, and we sat in his hot tub and had a few drinks and talked for a little while.
Who's the we that sat in the hot tub?
Yeah, myself, Wendy Adelson, and Charles Adelson was in the hot tub for a while, and his then roommate, Dr. Jerome Obed.
All right. So Dr. Obed was living with Charlie Adelson at that time?
That was my understanding. It was his roommate.
All right. And where was Catherine McDowell at that time?
She did not accompany us back to the house.
In the hot tub, did the defendant make some statements that were of interest in this case?
Yes.
What were those?
I continue.
Morris.
We had a short objection there.
Yes, he did mention having contacts on those sides of the tracks, meaning dentists, lawyers, professional class people, but they also had people in here that were a criminal element. Yes.
What's the thing about these people that are the criminal element?
He mentioned specifically, I repeated it to DPD, about Cuban neighborhoods, where you might find that criminal element.
Okay, so he next falls to those type of people.
That's what he said.
And what was the context of this? Was he just seemed scared about it, worried about it, or something else?
Seemed to be bragging.
I want to ask you about a meeting with Wendy at a coffee shop that occurred on June 4th, 2014. Do you recall that?
I do.
What happened at the coffee shop?
We went to the Red Eye coffee shop to have coffee just to meet midday. And Miss Adelson canceled a trip that we had planned for July 11th to 17th to go see my parents, which was a big deal in the relationship. And she abruptly canceled it.
Did she offer an explanation as to why she needed to cancel the trip?
Not one that makes sense. She said that she feared that we would not get back in time, and she had, she emphasized, had to be back on the 18th to pick the kids up out of school, which would have been July 18th, 5 p.m., is my understanding. And I couldn't fathom why in the summer going through Atlanta you would be able to get back in time. It didn't make any sense to.
So she was worried you could be delayed and she wouldn't be able to pick the kids up.
Right. And we had people who could babysit. It didn't make any sense at all, but that was what she said. That day was very important.
All right. And so that occurred on June 4th.
It did.
All right. Did you see her later that evening?
I'll hang out with her and her children.
And was that her residence on Aqua Ridge?
Yes, ma'am.
And how was she that night? And this is June 4th, right?
It is. She was a nervous wreck to the point where she was sick to her stomach. Asked me to get to her house as soon as possible. She was in that much distress. And she didn't have food poisoning or flu or anything obvious. She was just a nervous wreck. So I went to her house, immediately went to the store to get her Pepto-Bismol and a couple of things from the convenience store. I have the credit card receipt, is why I recall that so specifically.
And did you have any idea why she was acting? I assume this is unusual for her.
It was fairly unusual. The degree of severity was definitely unusual. But that whole week, June 4th to 9th, she was very nervous. So.
And she didn't. Did she tell you it was because killers were in Tallahassee to kill Dan Markell, did she?
No, I was starting to later find out that there was hitmen in town at the time.
Okay.
Let's pause that for a second.
Let's go forward though. A little bit to.
Let's kind of go over what we have seen her. Are seen here in this this testimony. I'm trying to figure out and try to get a grasp on Wendy, because early on he said that Wendy's getting upset at every single filing that happens in this divorce. And look, at the when you first get into that world, it can be very upsetting, without a doubt. Because I mean, nobody really wants to be there, but you're there, and yes, it can be upsetting, but you do a couple of those and you kind of get used to your new normal and the temperature in the room and how it is. And it's not so shocking when the room's kind of chilly after you've been there for a while. It's like, it's uncomfortable, but it's not, oh my God, that, oh my God, this is a chilly room I'm walking into. So why is she getting upset at every single filing that goes on, in this case?
Two words.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Donna Adelson.
Exactly.
There it is.
Right. And
Donna
and Adelson. The fuel that she's basically throwing on every filing fire that comes through.
Exactly.
And mom doesn't need to know about this.
No.
That's the thing. I've had several emails come in from my attorney and I read them and go, oh my God. But I leave it at that.
Hey, why don't you send them to your mom and see what she says?
Right.
I mean, really, I mean, that's if you, and this is where everyone has to understand the enmeshment is what this is about.
Yeah.
The Wendy has been bred essentially by her mother, conditioned by her mother to run everything by her mother, no matter what it is, all decisions, even as a 30 some year old adult woman with children. Donna has to be the one that puts the rubber stamp on it. Otherwise, it ain't safe. And this is in the mind of Wendy. This is my interpretation of just someone in that situation and likely what Wendy was feeling. Obviously, I can't speak for Wendy, but it's not safe. So what's mom going to think? And when you go to mom for something like that, what you ideally would get is some sort of stability. Not more anxiety, not more, oh my God, well, what if he does this? You better start putting on the best acting skills of your life, Wendy, because if you don't, this is going to happen. You're going to ruin this life. You're going to ruin that life. Harvey's life is ruined. My life is ruined. The gerbil you had in third grade, we buried him in the backyard next to the teeter-totter. That gerbil's life ruined because of you, you bitch. Anyway, that's probably how that went.
But Hidden Killers Live players, ladies and gentlemen, nice round of applause for today's performance.
I appreciate it.
But that's what's going on. It's not, okay, honey, let's figure this out. Let's look at this with, you know, as Robin says, a loving critic. Mom should be a loving critic. Not someone standing there with a flamethrower and barrels of gasoline and a cigarette in her mouth. Because that's essentially what Donna Adelson has been to her children. One of them got the hell out of Dodge. The other two continued to play along. One decided to go to the other side of the tracks and get more ammo for Mom and more gasoline. Mom would probably like more of this. It seems she likes gasoline and shit. Let's go get more. So that's Charlie. And then over here, you have Wendy, who's bringing her these problems. And there's no calming. There's no, hey, you know, we got to figure this out. What's going to be best for the kids? Number one should be the number one goal in that conversation. If you truly give a damn about your offspring. And then, you know, number two, okay, what's going to be best for your daughter? But quite often, the answer to those questions will be answered by what's best for the children. And because the little kids, Wendy's kids, are now the children and the priority, Wendy ain't the priority anymore. Donna ain't the priority anymore. You have to do what's best by those children. And all Donna is doing is what's best by Donna. And all Wendy knows is what is to do best by Donna. So she has to bring everything to her, and Donna brings scare. Woo! It's going to get bad. It's going to get horrible. The only solution is what I'm going to offer you. And early on, it's litigation. It's, well, threaten him with this, do this. It's behind the scenes stuff. It's dress the kids up like Nazis and Hitler Youth. And literally, if you're like, that sounds insane, are you making that up? No, it's part of this story. She actually contemplates dressing her Jewish grandchildren up like Hitler Youth as a way to get back at Dan Markell. It's insane. And these solutions obviously can probably be very upsetting to Wendy, but she knows the solutions just keep going. And while she's upset at every filing, the absurd level of her being upset at that very moment, right before all this goes down, is very telling, especially if it's off the charts higher, according to Lacoste here, as in comparison to the other times that she's been very upset. Why would it be so much more over here at this very last one where Dan ends up dying?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.